Well, friends, as I have indicated before, this is stewardship time again, and I must confess that preaching about money is something distasteful to me. Now, I know it shouldn't be because it is part of the preaching of the gospel, but I'm always uncomfortable about it and afraid that a visitor here for the first time will immediately exclaim, "Oh, wouldn't you know it, another preacher begging for money." Some of us get very touchy and defensive when we get down to the nitty-gritty of Christian commitment. When we get to the place where the rubber meets the road in our pocket or checkbook. You know, the Scottish people love to make fun of themselves when it comes to the matter of giving. Dr. Murdo Ewan MacDonald, a great preacher of the city of Glasgow in Scotland, tells about the collection that was taken aboard an American liner crossing the Atlantic. They had the service in the lounge on the Sunday morning, and the captain asked for a generous offering at that Sunday morning service to help the widows of seamen. And he got a very generous response. And at the end of the service, he made an announcement thanking the passengers and the crew for their generosity. He said that they had given $1,404.04. And then he paused and said, with a smile, "The 4 cents puzzle me. There must be a Scotsman aboard." Whereupon a voice from the back said, "Sir, there are 4 of us." Well, I thought that if I preach on Christian stewardship this year, I'll just go for broke. And tell you, my friends, the surefire way to solve every financial problem that this or any other Christian congregation could ever have. This morning I preach on the principle of the tithe. And I do so without apology, but without any attempt to high pressure anybody. I can only testify, as I begin the message, that nothing has more greatly enriched Madge's life and my life through the years than the consistent practice of tithing our gross income. And I can tell you that we have always managed to have 3 meals a day, a roof over our head, and resources to pay our bills on time. I firmly believe that if we sincerely seek to honor the Lord in this matter of the tithe, He will honor us in return. The psalmist says, "Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who reverence the Lord will never lack any good thing." Now, let me mention 3 things about tithing rather quickly. And the first is this, and you'll see all this in your outline, which I hope you'll fill in. Tithing, my friends, is in the Bible. Tithing is in the Bible. Do you know that our Lord spoke 38 parables, and 16 of those 38 refer to property and money? Jesus in Scripture speaks more about money than he does about either promiscuity or the afterlife. Think about that. It has been estimated by Bible scholars that almost 60% of the Bible deals with money and property matters. And within the Bible, there is this principle of tithing. Now, to begin with, the Hebrew law concerning the tithe is found specifically in the book of Leviticus, where in the last chapter, chapter 27 at verse 30, we are told that, get this, a tithe of everything belongs to the Lord. Now, you can't get much more specific than that, can you? But as we examine Scripture, we discover that the principle of the tithe is a very ancient principle, going back much farther than the law of Moses. Because in Genesis chapter 14, you find an example of tithing by Abraham. Now, when Abraham had fought a battle to rescue his crazy old nephew Lot, we read that Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." And then these words, "Then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of everything." Isn't that something? Here we go back 4,000 years to Abraham, the father of the faithful, whose call, in effect, marked the birthday of the church. And we find him offering a tenth of his possessions to God in gratitude for what God had done for him. He offers that tenth to Melchizedek, the king of Salem and priest of the Most High God, a man who served God wholeheartedly and who actually represented God and God's work amongst human beings on the earth at that time. You see, Abraham's action in giving that tenth was an action of gratitude to God. It was not an attempt to buy favors. Abraham had already won the war. He was a rich man, as a matter of fact. And he gave his tithe in the realization that God is, as Jerry told us a moment ago so eloquently, that God is the owner of heaven and earth. He is the owner of everything that he entrusts to us. And Melchizedek knew and Abraham knew that everything Abraham had, he owed to God. So the tithe is a very ancient principle, even predating the Mosaic law itself. Moreover, according to the Old Testament prophets, God expects a tithe, and the failure to give the tithe is usually an indication of general spiritual failure. The very familiar passage here, of course, is the one which Elder Shirey has just read to us in Malachi chapter 3. "Will a man rob God?" Very pertinent question indeed. "Yet," says God, "you rob me." But you ask, how do we rob you? "In tithes and offerings." And then these terrific words, really heart-searching words. "You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the full amount of your tithes to the temple, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. But the thing we ought to notice here is, and I think this is very important, get this. This is God's prophet speaking to the people of Israel as they stand on the verge of national judgment. God's prophet is saying to these people, you have turned away from God in your national life. And conspicuous in that turning away is the fact that you have failed to acknowledge your stewardship obligations to God by giving Him His tithe. Now, friends, hear me. Hear me. It is my firm conviction that our country today faces the impending judgment of God to a greater extent than perhaps at any other time in our national history. The forces of evil are proliferating all around us and will continue to do so. How imperative then, how imperative that the people of God be faithful in providing the tithe to ensure the ongoing ministry of the kingdom of Christ as we combat the darkness of sin all around us. Again, in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 11, which Elder Shirey read to us, we find our Lord speaking to the Pharisees and saying, you give God a tenth of your mint and your rue and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. Now, the point to notice here is that Jesus immediately followed that by saying, you should tithe, yes, but you should not leave these other things undone. Jesus, you see, was assuming that his people should tithe, but at the same time, he was warning those self-righteous Pharisees that tithing isn't everything in the eyes of God, but that justice and love are equally important. But do remember that our Lord assumed the tithe. He never abrogated it. Some people say tithing isn't taught in the New Testament like it is in the Old Testament. But whether that be true or not, remember this, my friends. If the Old Testament saints were to tithe under the Old Covenant, why shouldn't Christians at least tithe under the New Covenant as we stand at the foot of the cross and realize that God there gave His all for us? How could we give any less than what the Old Testament saints were required to do? Now let me make it quite plain and clear that we do not believe in legalism by any manner of means. I do not believe that we should tithe just because it was a law under Moses, but we have just considered three sample passages from the Bible that we simply can't sweep under the carpet. Number one, the fact that tithing is an ancient principle going right back to Abraham. Number two, the fact that God, through His prophet, warned a nation on the verge of judgment that they had been unfaithful in the matter of stewardship of their resources. And three, above all, the fact that our Lord himself assumed the tithe to be the valid method of giving to God. Yes, my friends, tithing is in the Bible. Now, number two, tithing is the Christian method of giving to the Lord's work. Tithing is the Christian method of giving. My dad, who was a pastor, had an awful thing against bazaars and sales of work and all that stuff in the church. He used to say, poor God, giving us our cast-off clothing, giving him our cast-off clothing. You know, and there's something to that. Tithing is the Christian method of giving. For one thing, it solves the problem of how much shall I give? Let me say most emphatically that we should never compare what we give with what anyone else gives. The tither can hold up his head with any person, be he rich or poor. The tither becomes an obedient and faithful steward of a separated portion of his income which he administers for his Lord. Of course, we Christians believe that we are stewards not only of the 10%, but of the other 90% as well. And how we administer our total affairs, our total resources, is a matter of great importance between us and God, and in a very real sense, it reflects the quality of our Christian life and commitment. Tithing is a genuinely Christian approach to giving. It is systematic and it is proportionate. Now we must, of course, remember that over and above the Christian tithe is this principle enunciated by our Lord. Look at Luke 12:48. From the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Now there's a mistake in your outline here. The much more is left out. The word more is left out. From everyone who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. And also the same principle is pronounced by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 16:2. Listen to this. Upon the first day of every week, let every one of you set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income. Or as the King James Version renders it, as God has prospered him. Now that means that for many people the tithe is not enough. It means that many people who would give the tithe would really be getting off rather easy. Because I'm convinced that it's much easier for a person earning $100,000 a year to give $10,000 to the Lord's work than it is for somebody earning $20,000 a year to give $2,000. The tithe is the minimum, but for some, it should not be the minimum. The amount should be more. Now, have you ever noticed that the envelope in which you place your contribution each week is entitled, right in the front of it, My Faith Offering? My faith offering. But I would remind you that in the Old Testament, now get this, in the Old Testament, the offering of the people was the amount over and above the tithe which they gave to the Lord. The tithe was required, and so we rightly speak of God's tithe and your offering. Now, if your tithe is $50 a week, for example, and you donate $60, then the $10 is your offering. Now, this is something, of course, which everyone must take to the Lord in earnest prayer as we examine ourselves and our financial resources and make our decision as to what our faith promise is to be. The trouble is that some Christians just don't approach this matter of giving in any kind of systematic and proportionate way. They may decide on a certain amount that looks large at the time, but when it is broken down proportionately to income and proportionately to what we do for ourselves, it is sometimes small and meager. Tithing, my friends, is the Christian method of giving. And then thirdly and finally, tithing is satisfying. Very, very satisfying. You will notice that I didn't say rewarding. We must be very careful not to tithe from any selfish motive or as an attempt to buy God's favor or as some kind of spiritual life insurance. I just can't tolerate these stories about some man who began to tithe and within a year or two he became a millionaire. It would be foolish and unbiblical to promise that if you begin to tithe, all your financial and personal problems will have evaporated by next week. That just ain't true. But it is true that more often than not, when a Christian really begins to take this matter of his stewardship responsibility seriously before God and to look at that separated portion, the tithe, he also then is in a position to take a look at the remaining 9/10. And he will in all likelihood become a better administrator of what the Lord has given him than ever before. In a word, the tither, and I'm perfectly convinced this is true, the tither is given the wisdom to make the remaining 9/10 go farther than the 10/10 otherwise would. And in this sense, of course, the tither undoubtedly prospers. No one ought to promise that if you tithe, you're going to be immediately rewarded for it. But I'll tell you this. I have never heard a tither say that he has suffered from tithing or has become poorer because of it. Tithing is satisfying, and there is a sense in which God does open the windows of heaven and pour down his blessings upon you. Of course. You will notice that I have not mentioned the amount that we feel we will need to subscribe in order to carry out our mission as the Church of Jesus Christ for 1993, although I think you know pretty much what that will be. I don't intend to mention any specific amount. I get wearied when I hear preachers say this kind of thing. Now, if X number of people will give $50 a week and Y number of people will give $75 a week and Z number of people will give $100 a week, we'll go over the top. Let us be done with this kind of ecclesiastical mathematics. Consider becoming a tither, my friend, because if you do, the church will never have the slightest concern about where needed money will come from, and we will pursue with vigor and enthusiasm the building of our new church home, and God will bless us far beyond our deserving. But more important, what glory it will bring to God. There is no law that says we have to tithe in order to be saved. Thank God, salvation's a free gift. But just as behind the nation of Israel was the Dead Sea, God's redemption of his people from the slavery of Egypt, so behind the Christian there is the cross and the empty tomb, God's eternal salvation of his people in Jesus Christ. And it is as we stand before the cross that we should reflect upon this whole matter of stewardship. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. My friend, if you linger at the foot of the cross, it will do wonders for your sense of values and for your sense of perspective and for your whole understanding of Christian stewardship. We ought to ponder these things deeply. Within our family circle, we ought to talk to each other about these matters. Husbands and wives ought during this coming week to discuss this matter very seriously with each other. Young wage earners who love Christ ought to be getting into the tithing pattern early on. We are saved by sovereign grace alone. And in that context, I would invite you, if you have not done so already, to consider becoming a tither. Do you know when I received the greatest joy in giving to the Lord's work? Pardon this little personal reference, but I think it's important that you know this. It was back in those dark days when Canada, like the United States, was ravaged by that awful depression of the 1930s. College graduates were being fed in soup kitchens in Toronto. Multitudes of people were losing their homes through foreclosure, and we hardly knew where our next meal would come from. When I was 14, I got a job at 25 cents an hour. I could only get about 30 hours a week. In fact, my pay averaged out at about $7 a month. And I was glad to help my mother even to that extent. But you know what she did? She encouraged me to pledge $1 a month to help support a missionary from our church. And I did, and I'm thankful to say that I never missed a payment. And I've never been more happy in my life than I was when I was able to put that dollar each month into an envelope and put that missionary's name on the front of the envelope and tell him that I gladly was giving that money for his support. And that's how I got into tithing. And I've been in it ever since. And I'm so thankful that I did. So thankful. Henry Drummond, that great Scottish Christian, used to say, "The Christian life is like a club. The entrance fee is absolutely nothing, but the annual subscription is everything you've got." And that's it in a nutshell. When I look up at the cross, where God's great steward suffered loss of life and shed his blood for me, a trifling thing it seems to be to pay a tithe, dear Lord, to thee, of time, of talent, wealth, or store. Full well I know I owe thee more, a million times. I owe thee more. That's it, my friends. Bring the full amount of your tithes to the temple.